Yeah. The Sopranos, I mean, I just watched The Sopranos for the first time, like I told you, like 6 months ago. And it was just a wild ride. It was a white knuckle ride through dialogue and character work. And I mean, I thought Game of Thrones whacked a lot of people. You know what I mean?
This was the original. They copied that shit off of New Jersey and then went back in time.
I mean, that's the crazy thing. You watch The Sopranos and it's like every prestige TV series that I've ever seen is just doing all the things that they like invented in The Sopranos, or maybe not invented, but like turned up to 11 for the first time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I've been having a sort of similar experience to that, 'cause I've been playing through the original Dark Souls, like basically for the first time in the past few months. And it's really interesting.
I've never even played Dark Souls.
Yeah. Dark Souls is it's a really interesting game, 'cause I'm sure you've heard like Dark Souls is hard as sort of like the meme description of it.
Yeah, it's the Dark Souls of games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it is hard, but that's honestly not even like the first thing that I might use to describe it. It's like when you play it, it makes you feel like every other AAA game is like really behind the times and like doesn't understand how to like engage the player.
Right.
Because there's like the way the map works is like you don't actually have one, but it somehow doesn't matter. You can just like find your way around this 3D space because it's like really well calibrated and designed. And there's all these little shortcuts that connect to other things. And there's all these different systems you have to engage with. So basically, I'm saying The Sopranos is the Dark Souls of television.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that tweet where it's like, this coffee is the Dark Souls of coffee. And the barista's like, I'm asking you to leave. This chair is the Super Mario of chair. Get out.
The Mario Odyssey of using a hat.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't even really been playing any video games recently, but my life is finally settling down.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about picking Minecraft back up. Oh my god.
Minecraft is a dangerous game, but that's a fun one.
I know. It's one of those ones where like I avoided it for so long. Like when it was first popular, my little brother played it all the time. And I was I missed the boat, you know, I'm too old. And then COVID hit and Justice Bison from the Discord was like, hey, you ever played the block game? And I was like, no, but I'd do anything right now to escape this horrible boredom. And now all I do is watch redstone tutorials on YouTube that I don't even try to build on my own anymore in Minecraft.
Yeah, people just figure out ways to like be a master electrical engineer in Minecraft. Not even like, you know, you have an undergraduate degree, but like you've studied deeply and now you're engineering the most insane shit you've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of cool new mods and stuff. Like the Create mod has been getting really popular and I'm kind of like, oh, this has got like, you know, gears and pulleys and like different torque readouts and stuff. It turns it into like a real engineering sim.
Jesus.
Kind of. And I'm just like, oh, I kind of want to play with that. But then I'm also like, there's a part of my brain, 'cause like I was a big Team Fortress 2 guy, right? And I sunk like, you know, thousands of hours into Team Fortress 2.
Then
I saw Overwatch and I was like, I can't do it. I won't succeed in anything I really need to get done because I'm just gonna play that game if I pick it up. I feel the same way about the Create mod. I'm like, oh, if I hop on a Create mod server, that's kind of curtains for all the rest of my free time. Like, I'm not going to get to read these books that I just ordered. I'm not going to get to like go to the beach. I'm just going to be playing Create Mod.
Yeah. I feel like I definitely missed the boat originally on Minecraft, because there's like a while when I didn't really play computer games. I just had a Mac and it was kind of like the shitty white one. So it's like not really good for gaming. And I heard about it and was like, oh, I guess it's a game where you mine stuff and you build stuff, like whatever. That seems cool. And then I would occasionally see Kotaku articles where it was like, this man made a working Game Boy emulator and a working copy of Pokemon Red in Minecraft. And I would be like, I don't understand what that means, but this game sounds insane. And then eventually tried it and then realized it's the kind of game where just like, the tasks sound boring. It's just like, oh, you just pick stuff up and then you use it to get more stuff. But then like you look up and 6 hours have passed and you didn't even realize anything happened.
Right. Yeah, exactly. The funny thing, I love resource collecting games though. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, like, Minecraft is, it's great, but there was another game called Motherload, which was a flash game where you're piloting like a digging tank thing, and you're on the surface of Mars, and this guy Mr. Natas is like paying you to try and mine as deep as possible and get the most valuable stuff and like, you know, bring it back up for him. Like, it's about capitalism. And you know, So it's kind of like Minecraft in that you have to mine for your resources. But then the final boss, instead of an Ender Dragon, it turns out Natas backward is Satan.
And oh my God.
He's just a devil. And he's like inside Mars, and you have to fight him inside Mars. It fucking rocks. It's such a great game.
So you've been serving Satan all this time, unbeknownst to you. You've been giving him.
Yes. But
that also means you're giving stuff to yourself.
Yes.
I guess it's like Satan gives you the tools to fight him. In a weird way.
He makes you insanely rich.
I don't know very much about religion, so I don't know how that would apply to actual theology. I bet there's like a thing, though. There's some book that's like, Satan hands you the spears to defeat him if you understand Jesus.
Yeah, well, isn't it worse than that, though? Isn't it like Satan took the tools of God and turned them against him? But then, of course, like, you know, to say, I don't know, there's theologians will be like, well, actually, Satan is actually a necessary component of God. But also a decision by God, because of course God is in control the whole time. And I'm like, I was just trying to play a flash game about mining to the core of Mars. You fucking Thomas Aquinas ass nerd.
Like, yeah, that seems a little iffy from God, honestly. It's like if you're, I don't know, if you're skiing down a hill and you hit a tree and you're like, yeah, I actually planned to do that because I planned everything out. I'd be like, I can't prove that you didn't plan to do that, but it seems a little, why didn't you just plan to go around that tree, man? Seems
yeah, weird. Either way, you seem like an asshole at this point.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
Welcome back to BP Bledis, everybody, the only FedoraCore atheism podcast where we use facts and logic to disprove the weak-brained creationist ideas about God. That's what this show is about.
Yeah, we were thinking that the one thing atheism was missing was pedantry. So we're going to find little things to pick apart about their religion and throw it back in their face to really own them.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, because as committed communists, we have to be FedoraCore edgelord atheists. It's in the contract that you sign when you open the cover of Capital Volume 1 and sign your soul away to Mr. Marx, which backwards is Satan.
It's also Satan.
Everything backwards is Satan. Don't you know? Mm-hmm. So it's just me and Chris today again. So welcome back to the two-headed dragon version of BP Bledis.
Don't cut off one head, because then two co-hosts will regrow in its place. You don't even want to know who that's going
to
be.
You want the co-hosts to dwindle. Eventually, this will just be one or the other of us doing hour-long front of a truck style rants into the microphone.
I was like jokingly saying, because like the other night we were going to do the two of us, and then you're like, I actually have this other thing to do. And I was like saying to Bryn, what if I just recorded myself talking, but like not anything prepared? It was just kind of like sitting there and like doing jokes and then kind of chuckling to myself, and then was like, well, anyway, something else maybe? I don't know.
I mean, it could be pretty funny, but when you think about doing that, like I get a sense of vertigo thinking about trying to do an hour by myself without having something to like read from or go off of. But then you think about like the truck rant guys, right?
And it's
they really are consummate performers. Some of them, the ability to just open your mouth and start saying shit, even if it's the most, you know, offensive, despicable shit, is kind of impressive. I'm like, I don't think I could go for an hour. I think really riled up, I could do 15 minutes.
Yeah, I could see that. If you get really mad about something, you could, because they just like put their phone on their dashboard and then they're driving, or are they sitting and then they talk?
They're usually just sitting, yeah. And they're like, well, I got a hair up my ass about something today. These Democrats. And I'm like, God damn, if there was like a principled communist who had this level of energy, we would win. We would be unstoppable. Like,
It's like especially funny that they get in the car and do that when they're not driving anywhere, because it's like, then what is it about your car? Your car is just like a little room that's like probably hot or cold if it's hot or cold outside.
Yeah, well, what I love about it is that it's basically like, this is where the wife won't yell at me for yelling for an hour, because those guys probably try to do that shit in their basement or whatever, and their wife or their kids are just like banging a broom on the floor like, would you shut the fuck up, dad? Like, you know, so they have to get out of the house, because they're all like, you know, they look tough. They play it up like they're these like tough, you know, smart, like, I don't know, redneck savant, you know, political guys. But what they really are is just Affliction t-shirt version of Family Men. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Most of them probably have like three kids or more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're basically what Tim Allen's character on Home Improvement would be if he didn't even have a TV show. He had no outlet for the masculine energy. He would just have to go out into his car. I feel like Tim would just, he wouldn't even like rant. He would just like make ooga booga caveman noises and like vibrate for an hour and then go back inside.
That would at least be funny, right? That was like the glory of Home Improvement, and like anything Jim Carrey touched was like, I don't expect this guy to be worthwhile in terms of like dialogue or whatever, but if he just like screeches like a howler monkey and like crawls out of a rhino's ass or like scratches his armpit theatrically, like I'm gonna be entertained by that, right? Like that was the genius of that.
Yeah, and honestly, like looking back at Home Improvement, like it's weirdly like progressive for like the setting, because the whole conceit of the show is like Tim is a meathead and he always wants to use power tools and like be a stereotypical like dumb guy.
Right.
And then like his wife and his like extremely soy, like intellectual neighbor, like I guess Wilson isn't really soy, but he's like proto soy. They like tell him stuff about like being a nice person or being thoughtful or whatever. And he's like, oh, I didn't think about that. Maybe I'll try that.
Right. Wilson is, he's like the Tao, right? He's like the smoothing out of all contradiction. He's all things. He's he's the competent craftsman neighbor. He's the he's the good old boy who goes hunting and fishing, but he's also like the wise man. He's the obscured figure. He's the subject supposed to know. He's like he's this everything to the show. And it's no wonder that like, he's the favorite. Everybody loves him. Like when I watched that show as a kid, because it was on all the time, if he was in a scene, I was like, oh, this is it. This is the shit. This is why I watched this show.
Like, it's great because you get so many things. Like, I wish I could. I don't actually remember what any of like the things he quotes are. I'm sure in hindsight, it's like, oh, that's not that deep. You're citing like Kafka and Immanuel Kant and stuff. But at the time, it always feels like, wow, this is like the most mystical stuff I've ever heard. I don't even know what he's talking about. But you know you're going to hear something mystical. And then also Tim is going to go back inside and, oh, he's going to garble that shit. He's going to get it completely backwards and wrong.
Yeah, he's going to do a Rickyism on it. He's going to get the name wrong or like, act incorrectly upon it. But that was always it. Like, I don't know. Home Improvement was interesting, but I always felt like Tim was kind of the weakest link in that show because he's just he's an underdeveloped Homer Simpson. You know,
yeah, I think that's
and
true.
He's also not the pointedly neutral conduit for the rest of the characters, like someone like Jerry Seinfeld is on Seinfeld.
Because I was going to say, like, Jerry Seinfeld is in some ways the weakest part of Seinfeld, but he's also not like who you're supposed to be laughing at usually. He's like, he draws all the funny stuff out of all the other characters.
Yeah, he's the quilting point for that show. He's like they called it the straight man in vaudeville, but it's like he's the reference. He's the thing that keeps reminding you of all of the excess that's going on around him that's supposed to represent hilarity, because he's constantly mindful of what should really be going on, which is the lack. And if anybody else has read Todd McGowan's A Theory of Comedy, you know that comedy is nothing more than excess and lack coexisting at the same time.
Interesting. I never read that, but that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, because Kramer will say something and Jerry will be like, no, I don't think so, Kramer. And then that's when you laugh because you're like, oh yeah, I was thinking no too, and this guy just confirmed it.
Yeah,
Kramer's wrong. I knew it all along. Kramer's
the
moron.
The guy who just busted into this apartment shaking and screaming might not be onto something. Oh god. And then that was the other thing, like Seinfeld, you're so right, like it was an affirmation type of humor, like you were supposed to feel more confident knowing that like you were on the side of cool and calm and sensible Jerry. But then of course, like Jerry, it's not like Jerry didn't like freak out and engage in his own excess sometimes too, but of course they had to do that to make him relatable. Ooh, X-Files noise. This is how screenwriting works.
Mulder just like laying out pages of a script in his office and he's like, Scully, I've got it. They're using tricks to make the audience identify with the characters, and Scully's like, yeah, Mulder, that's not a conspiracy. You can learn that in any screenwriting class.
I want to believe that Jerry Seinfeld is not actually a very likable guy. And it's like, well, that's just true. I think everybody who pays attention a little bit knows that. All right. Have you seen Getting Coffee in Cars with Comedians? It's dog shit. It's some of the most unrelatable humor that I've ever seen in my entire life. Mm-hmm. Scare quotes around humor.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I've enjoyed episodes of that where like the comic that he has on is like really, really charming, like Brian Regan or someone, where it's just like,
sure,
I like watching them speak. But when it's someone who is in any way similar to Jerry Seinfeld, they're just like, they're just two rich people being like, oh yeah, it's cool being rich to say funny stuff. I sure like being funny.
I almost go the other way though, because like, you know, Brian Regan, he's a good boy, you know, he's a very good boy and I like him. But he's, when he's together with Jerry Seinfeld, that's not the energy I want. I almost, if I'm going to watch Jerry Seinfeld, I want to see him tool around with a even bigger piece of shit than he is. You know what I mean? Jay Leno, like throw fucking Jay or like fucking Andy Dick or Bobcat Goldthwait or just someone completely insufferable. Mm-hmm. And then I can hate watch it and really get my jouissance on, you know, really enjoy what I'm doing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess we should probably get into a story at some point. Yeah.
Let's talk about the world and not just television.
Not just the things that we have seen in our lives.
Let's talk about what we're seeing right now through the Panopticon.
And this is a current events show, folks. Don't be fooled by the blistering hot cultural commentary. But apparently, so you brought this to my attention. This ABC News Go article says, entire Portland police crowd control unit resigns after officer indicted on protest assault charge. So someone probably rightfully sued this guy and the rest, and he got indicted and the police were like, this is a bridge too far.
Yeah, there was something similar that happened. I think it was in Rochester where there was like an old man who was like shoved to the ground and was bleeding out of his head.
Yeah, and I remember that.
I'm pretty sure in that scenario, like the officer who pushed him ended up being charged. Obviously, it was very clearly like he shoved over a 70-year-something man who wasn't doing anything, was not a threat to anyone. And I think he got in trouble and some of those cops from that force like quit in protest. So it's interesting that occasionally this is happening, because really this is like, you know, it's one of the good outcomes you could have of protesting is that not even just like through making the cops afraid or, you know, thinking that they will be overwhelmed by numbers, but just because they're like, well, I have to face a consequence and I don't want any consequences, I think I'll stop being a cop.
And so just to be clear, these cops didn't resign from their positions as police officers. They resigned from the rapid response force, or what is it called? The crowd control unit.
Mm-hmm.
So they're basically just saying like, well, if we're going to get sued for doing crowd control, then we're not going to do crowd control anymore. Yeah. And
I'll
also
just be a regular cop where I'm much less likely to get sued.
Yeah. And like also being on the crowd control unit was a voluntary assignment. So these cops are really trying to throw their weight around, and ABC News Go was like happy to give them the headline, you know?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's just like, they didn't really do anything. This is like if I was working at a beer store and for whatever reason I got a hair up my ass, you know, because that's basically what they're doing. And I was just like, well, I'm not going to sign up for any overtime anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that sends a message to you.
Yeah, you were like, you were like, I broke a bunch of beer while working overtime and you said I had to pay for some of it. So I'm not going to work overtime anymore. And they'd be like, okay, someone else will work overtime instead. That's right. It's like, that's fine.
Who fucking cares?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like cops are always doing the most fucking pathetic shit. Like it's always like some bare minimum shit. And then they're like, ooh, poor me, poor me. Like what's the meme with the guy who shoves the stick in his own bicycle wheels?
Oh, yeah. Like I don't actually know where that comes from. I assume someone just drew it at some point.
It has some kind of name. It has like a French name, the meme does. It's one of the only memes I know that has like a boutique meme name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird sometimes when a meme has like an unrelated name, so you just like don't learn it because it's not actually like relevant to knowing what the meme is.
Baton Rouge. that's what that meme is called for some reason.
I guess road stick, maybe. Baton means stick in French, but I'm not sure what Rouge.
Yeah, I guess it's because it's from a French artist who did a webcomic. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
must
be a weird feeling to like
of all time.
Yeah, to draw a webcomic and at some point like one specific image from it is like zoomed in on and sliced out and then just becomes a completely separate cultural entity, and you're like, oh, I guess my biggest impact on the world by far is basically guaranteed to be this one image of a man knocking over his own bicycle.
I mean, like, can you imagine that happened to the guy who makes Control Alt Delete? right? Like he was like, this is a funny webcomic for late aughts teens to read about gaming. Mm-hmm. And then 10 years later, he's like, this is a serious relationship based comic about these gamers' personal lives. And then he's like, I'll draw a comic strip where there's a miscarriage because I want to tackle a sensitive topic. And then a bunch of fucking 4chan and Reddit nerds deconstruct your meme and overuse it to the point where a series of lines expressed in panels are now a reference to something that you tried to make as like an emotional and sensitive piece of art. And it's just a bunch of like Pepe neckbeards being like, is this loss.exe .txt?
That is much worse. And it's like, but you know, he set himself up for it because I think the very next comic after that one is like back to being like the zany XD random like throwaway violence humor. Like he immediately undercuts it with like by still being the same comic that it already was. But I mean, yeah, that's like a real like long term, like long tail of bullying. Like you don't expect to make something and then 15 years later, the bullying for it is like reaching a peak that you never thought it would even like more people know that meme than ever read his comic probably.
Yeah. Loss is like a bigger and bigger meme. Like he probably has gained readership. Mm-hmm. From getting made fun of via the Loss meme.
Yeah. Which so it's almost like a Rick Astley situation where it's like, I guess the joke is that my song is bad and no one would want to hear it. But then because of that joke, tons of people do want to hear my song. So am I just becoming a clown that everyone laughs at, but I'm also successful. So it's good.
But doctor,
can say
I am Rick Astley. But doctor, I drew the Loss comic.
Just like doctors become worse and worse where you're like, yeah, so I have depression. And also I think I have a lump in my arm and then like one of my bones is broken. And they're like, it's simple. Look up different versions of the Loss meme is funny. We'll make you laugh.
Just like, I mean, that's basically what they're doing now. Like crouching in the fucking Amazon booth after I just got my pinky severed by a piece of industrial equipment. Like he will never go blanky mode. Oh, just like weeping through the laughter.
Like, oh. Yeah. They like test that out. You just go inside the booth and then it's like wall to wall memes. It's only computer monitors and they're just displaying different memes, like hoping one sparks some dopamine in your brain. Cause they're like, well, dopamine technically can make wounds hurt less and heal faster. So technically we could be helping them.
Yeah. I mean, that's
we don't
like,
know for sure if we're not.
That's like the funny thing. Cause they already tried that. Like the old cliche is the hang in there poster with the cat on the branch. Mm-hmm. In the office, right? Because it's like, I don't want to fucking hang in here.
Yeah.
I want to burn this place to the ground. And I feel like we've never really gotten beyond that. Like that's the same tactic. It's just been imported to like feel good Facebook groups or like you'll get a new job in some office situation. Your boss will be like, oh man, wait till you see my joke of the week email chain. I always keep it going, you know what I mean? And it's just like oh no. And you're not even, and then the you realize that the person you're talking to is only 6 or 7 years older than you. You're like, oh god, what is happening to the world?
But he's making meme references that you got over in like middle school or something. You were just like, yeah, I don't really find rage comics funny anymore. So and then you know, one of the most annoying things about memes these days is that some people brought rage comics back and managed to make them much, much cringier and much more embarrassing and less funny. Neo rage comics.
That's the fucked up thing. It's like, I didn't expect a tragedy and farce for rage comics. I thought the tragedy and farce was all bundled into the first iteration.
Yeah.
But it's like, it turns out in hindsight, it's I who was naive.
Yeah, definitely. But it's in reverse because in hindsight, the original rage comics are just a farce because people are just making dumb jokes about like things that make you yell fuck. And then the new ones are tragedy because people are like trying to relate things about their real lives, but just through like La Funny Rage Man with a Beard and La Funny Woman in the comic who likes you if you do a good thing and doesn't like you if you do a bad thing.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. Like memes have become so distilled now to the point where they're kind of inert in a lot of cases. It's mm-hmm. just, they're just deconstructing each other. It's like, girls with a time machine, I'm going to kill Adolf Hitler. Mm-hmm. Boys with a time machine goes back to 1980s office environment and replaces hang in there poster with the loss image. And then tugging at shirt collar, like, I guess you guys aren't ready for that one yet, but mm-hmm. your kids are going to love it. Like, and it's just like, how many things can I fucking smash together? You know? And mm-hmm. I don't, you know, I feel guilty because I kind of revel in it. I love that kind of just like cultural reference stacking kind mm-hmm. of meme shit, but that's because I have brain problems. Okay. This shit isn't good. We shouldn't all be enjoying it.
Yeah. You know, it's like if you get a fucking Budweiser ad stuck in your head, that doesn't mean you think Budweiser ads are good. It's just that like people pay a ton of money to create like the most addicting spectacle possible and then make people yell "Wazz up" in the Budweiser commercial.
Exactly. And that's why we need like people like Neil Cicierga mm-hmm. who come along and put baby back ribs over Everybody Wants to Rule the World mm-hmm. combined with The Beautiful People by Marilyn Manson, you know, and finally gives us that moment of crystalline cultural clarity where we're just like, oh yeah, all of this shit is bad. None of this
is all stupid. This isn't helping anyone or doing much of anything.
The greatest dialectician of all time, Neil Cicierga. But getting back to the cops being incredibly just weak and stupid human mm-hmm. beings, they're also asking for an emotional support dog to add to the Capitol Police Force, because apparently the June 6th protesters that they wet in during the scary protest have caused them to need a heckin' pupperino on whom to... I don't even know what they're going to do with this dog. They're either going to turn him into a cop or shoot him, so there's no good outcomes here.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, it's also funny, I'm just being reminded of how everyone was convinced that Brian Sicknick was like murdered with a fire extinguisher, but then they had to be like, actually, that seems like that didn't happen, and he just had a stroke and died of natural causes.
Right.
And then the other person they mentioned is someone who like committed suicide. It's like, was anyone actually killed in these attacks at all, or did they just like happen to die around them, and then every other cop is like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened?
No, they just had to play it up. It was a friendly interaction. All mm-hmm. the cops who were hanging out were just like probably fucking ribbing each other with their elbows, being mm-hmm. like, hey bud, we're going to get so much fucking funding from this.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I know that like me and the Q Shaman, we're going out for drinks later. You want to like, they're all buddies.
Yeah.
They're all fucking buddies. And the fucking, the right wing insurgents, so-called, like didn't do any, like I love to smoke weed in places where I'm not supposed to,
mm-hmm.
but if that's all you're going to do, fuck you. Like I would have Capitol building down. I don't know if I'm gonna have to bleep that or not, but I would have the fucking ground.
Yeah.
And what did they do? They sat around farting on their own fucking dicks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was the one guy, I think it was the Q Shaman, who like got into the Senate chamber, and then the cop comes in and like with more politeness than a cop has ever told me to leave somewhere, you know,
right.
Maybe about the level of when they say like, hey, the park is closing, so you have to leave. He was like, hey, you gotta leave soon. You can't be in here. Almost disappointed that he had to make them move.
Yeah. Like, hey, I don't mean to be a buzzkill. You know, I mm-hmm. see that you guys are having a good time, and you know, for what it's worth, I agree with you,
mm-hmm.
but
with whatever you're trying to do. Yeah, I agree.
On paper, I'm supposed to tell you to scram. So whenever it's convenient, just shuffle out of here, please.
Yeah.
And that was basically it. And then we're supposed to like feel some kind of way about like, they're prosecuting these rioters too much, or they're not prosecuting these rioters enough. And it's like, oh, mm-hmm. it's the content. Oh, it's the form of what they did. It's like, no, it's none of that. It's a deliberately confusing political event that was allowed to happen
mm-hmm.
specifically for the express purpose of confusing the political conversation that was happening around protests and, you know, groups voicing their opinion.
Yeah. I feel like that event is a really interesting sort of like butting up of like memes and internet discourse and then reality, because it's like the sort of thing where, I mean, like, I feel like the sort of precursor to that event is almost the Facebook event that was like, we should all storm Area 51. They can't stop all of us, where you're just sort of like,
right.
You're using the like generalized concept of like storming something. You storm the Bastille, you storm the palace, you storm the Winter Palace,
right,
storm the Capitol, right. Whatever, and then do something. But people didn't, they still had the question marks, like in the South Park meme where it's like storm the Capitol and then question mark, question mark. They, it's like, it's not even like they failed at their plans. They just didn't really have any plans. They were like, we should just get in there.
No.
And then once we're there, something will happen that will then make our political will be enacted somehow.
Yeah, they're a dog catching a car. They're mm-hmm. a dog who has finally stuck their teeth into the bumper of a moving car. And they're like, what do I do now? Mm-hmm. Like, what is happening? Oh, shit, I'm on the national political stage. Yeah. Whoops. And then I also love the at the end of this article talking about the police dog. It says Lila's first day on the job will be July 5th. You know, so I can't make a dog work on the 4th of July, nation's birthday, baby. But then also, I know they probably just add this to any article that has anything to do with mental health. Mm-hmm. But at the end, it says, if you or someone you know may be considering suicide, contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at, you know, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, do you think that I'm a Capitol police officer reading about the dog that's getting added to my force? And I'm like, oh shit, I might need a mental health resource.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Maybe they think you're reading it and you're like, oh my God, this is so good. If I can just cuddle with a puppy, then I won't be so sad. And then you're like, July 5th, that's in like 3 weeks. Oh my God. I should just kill myself before then. Honestly, dude, how am I going to fucking make it to, and they're like, no, don't worry. Just call this number and they'll describe a dog to you. And you can kind of imagine you're hanging out with the dog. It's not quite as good, but you won't want to kill yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to belittle mental health crises, but also I feel like adding this to the end of an article about a police dog is maybe belittling mental health crises a little bit in the first place.
I think slightly, yeah. If what this article was like purporting was actually true, like there was a coup by Nazis that deeply traumatized these police officers who were good, and then the only solution was like, get him a dog. It's like, what? Don't like, you know, arrest more of the Nazis or like change some of the systems that lead to this stuff. You're just like, get them a puppy to hang out with.
I mean, that's also kind of funny. Like, let's take it on faith, right? Let's mm-hmm. believe for a moment that these officers really are traumatized by this. And also, let's imagine that we're the kind of people who care about police officers' feelings and mental health. Mm-hmm. Their answer to that is like, what about a dog? I don't fucking know.
One dog? Yeah, there's many of them. Lots of people have dogs. They still kill themselves sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know who this is supposed to help. This mm-hmm. is definitely just a reason to put police and cute dog next to each other mm-hmm. in a headline. And that is why it's being reported on in NPR, mm-hmm. the totally not conservative but definitely state-run media. Interesting mm-hmm. how that works sometimes.
Yeah, it stands for normal public radio because everything they do is very normal and has a good reason to normal. Exist. Yeah.
Speaking of being extremely normal, we want to bring up another cake drama, another LGBTQ cake drama, my mm-hmm. friends. They just keep happening. Bakers can't stop themselves from discriminating against LGBT people and nobody knows why.
And even the same, okay, so there's a very famous case where a place called Masterpiece Cake Shop in Colorado didn't want to make a gay wedding cake for a gay couple, and then it was a whole thing. It went to the Supreme Court. He eventually had to make the cake, right? Like, he lost the case because his argument, I think, was like, well, my free speech means if I don't support something, I shouldn't have to, you know, make a thing that supports it. And then it was like, well, but it's not free speech. It's the business you run where you make people cakes and you can't discriminate against them.
But also, like, did they still need that cake by the time the the lawsuit was over?
They
like, I mean,
waiting.
Good on them for suing, you know, mm-hmm. or what? I mean, I don't know. I don't care to take things to the courts. But like, you know, the guy was obviously a piece of shit for trying to discriminate against them in that way. But also, I have to imagine that by the time the lawyers had gotten involved and it had passed through the courts, that whatever the cake was for was no longer mm-hmm. a current event. You know what
I
mean?
Like, save the date for 5 years until the Supreme Court says we can have a cake. Yeah. The one shop that will make... Yeah, that's the thing. If like someone was only going to make me a cake because like a Supreme Court was like, you have to, I would be like, I don't really want to eat that cake anymore. I don't think it would really taste very good at that point. it would kind of
this is our Supreme Court cake. We won this in a case, and it's for an event that had already happened 4 years prior to the final ruling. So we just shrink wrapped it, and we're going to preserve it forever.
Yeah, actually, I guess that's exactly what I would do. I wouldn't want to eat it, but I would want to have it just as proof that like I got a court to make someone do something for me.
Yeah, by like a big game hunting like trophy plaque, and instead of an animal head, you just put your Supreme Court case cake up on the plaque. That'd be big energy, honestly. Yeah, that'd be good. I could get behind that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, but so then the current case is that the same bake shop does not want to make a cake for a trans woman because she wanted him to have
this
a birthday cake.
This is the same
cake.
Guy?
It's the same shop. I don't know if it's like the exact same guy. Yeah, it's a Colorado baker who won a partial victory at the U.S. Supreme Court in 2018 for refusing to make a wedding cake for a same-sex couple, violated the state's anti-discrimination law by refusing to make a birthday cake for a trans woman. Same dude.
This guy's like, I love cakes. I love the intricacy. I love the putting all the little details on. I love doing the frosting. I love working with all the different materials. But you know what I hate more than I love any of that? Gay and trans people. Like, I don't understand this guy. Like, yeah. How do you get to be the person who's like, oh yeah, I'm the master cakesmith, but I will only make it for cis straight hetero couples who browse Reddit and drink beer.
Like, yeah, it's like, you know, not to say anything about the kind of people who are into decorating cakes or into like fancy frosting and colors and stuff, but yeah, it is weird that that person is like, yeah, I hate gay people, but I love making cake.
Do you think he's maybe insecure about the fact that making cakes is not like a traditionally manly thing to do, and this is the channel that he's like sublated that energy into? He's like, I'll go to the Supreme Court multiple times if I have to.
Yeah, that could be why he's like very, very deeply closeted, and someone comes in and it's like, oh hi, can you make us a cake for our gay wedding? And he's like, gay wedding, dude, I'm straight, I'm not gay, I don't I'm suing you.
Or just like, even like, he just has a complex about it. Like, even if he is like straight or whatever, he just got made fun of in high school for being into baking, and they're like, oh, that's gay, and he's just like, I'm gonna prove to the world that cakes can be more discriminatory than and more turbo masculine than anything. It's just like such a weird thing to get hung up on. Like, I just want to, like, being John Malkovich style, be this guy for 3 seconds to get like enough information to figure out what kind of brain disease you have to end up in this situation, not once but multiple times.
Yeah. You know, that would make a good like modern version of being John Malkovich, is that like liberals and conservatives and people of different like political stripes have to swap bodies and then like experience life. You know, like a gay like Kamala Harris stan or Pete Buttigieg stan has to like become this guy and then understand why he doesn't want to make cakes for people. And and then this guy has to become like a out gay Broadway actor who loves Kamala Harris. Yeah, I could see some interesting juice in that movie.
And they called it Freaky Fry Cake. Wow, I finally understand where everyone is coming from. Like, I don't know. Also, it makes me wonder, like, okay, so this guy is nationally famous for refusing to make a cake for a gay couple. And then you're like, well, I'm a trans person and I have chosen this bakery to go order my cake at, which I have to assume is like just an incredibly like huge energy troll move, right? Like, you don't do that on accident. You're not like, whoops, I accidentally hired the bigot cake guy from the national news.
Yeah.
Like, you don't
unless
do that.
He makes
on
the most
accident.
Incredible cake. Like, what if he just makes delicious, beautiful cakes of all time? And you're like, well, maybe he's changed since then. Maybe he'll make me my cake.
Just people sitting at home like, God, I really want to support the LGBT community, but also that guy's cakes are the greatest thing in the world. I'm addicted to the, just like a guy at home, the same, like the Chick-fil-A problem, but turned up like to an even higher degree. And also because Chick-fil-A's sandwiches aren't even that good. Like, plenty of other places have a better chicken sandwich, but let's assume for the sake of argument that this guy does make the greatest cakes available in the state of Colorado.
Yeah, the idea of like a liberal just being like, this is such a hard dilemma because I know that the best way to support people is by consuming and shopping.
Voting with my dollars.
Voting with my dollar. I have a lot of dollars to vote with, but that cake is so good. Am I voting for hate if I do this? I don't know.
Well, I guess that that kind of you know, cognitive dissonance is really what dialectics is. And you finally understand Hegel when you mm-hmm. just completely smooth it out and do what you were going to do anyway. So
interesting.
Speaking of, yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
Not total nonsense.
Yeah. Is that why people like Carl Pilkington end up seeming so brilliant? Because it's like, they just burst through all of the like consideration you would do if you were like an educated person, and they just end up picking the same thing you would pick, but they don't know why.
Yeah. Maybe that is, maybe that's really what we just, what we crave is for somebody to just slice the Gordian knot of decision and to just mm-hmm. be dumb for us so that we can project ourselves onto that. And we're like, wow, what a genius for being dumb and doing the thing I would have done.
Yeah.
But speaking of being dumb and not doing the thing that I would have done, mm-hmm. apparently there's a recreational marijuana ordinance in Detroit, which a federal judge is preparing to rule, has said is likely unconstitutional. And this ordinance is not your typical ordinance. The people of Detroit worked very hard on this.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is it's a ordinance that would make sure that people from Detroit were given the first opportunity to run legal recreational marijuana dispensaries.
Okay, interesting.
And the controversy over this ordinance has caused Detroit to lag behind the rest of the state by a factor of 2 to 4 years, depending mm-hmm. on areas of Michigan, in terms of getting their legal recreational adult marijuana sales up and running. And it passed, the ordinance passed, and now this judge is saying, no, I think actually the Constitution plus Citizens United means that anybody should be able to open a business anywhere and push any kind of local people out. And of course, you know, Detroit is a largely black community, mm-hmm. and the black population of Michigan has been disproportionately, and of everywhere in the United States, has been disproportionately affected by marijuana prohibition for a very long time. And this is kind of it's not even a super crazy effective measure to even the playing field, but it's like a gesture. It says mm-hmm. like, look, we think that people from here, people from the city who've lived here and who've been affected by this should get the first shot at this, which is the exact thing I've been saying should be happening in the legal weed industry for mm-hmm. a long time. And this judge is just like, you know what? Actually, according to my Bill O'Reilly book, that violates the Constitution. Like,
yeah, that's so funny. And honestly, it's like when you take a step back and like think about it and like everything you ever learned about American history, it's like, oh yeah, like if there's one inalienable right in America, it's the right to like start a business, do it anywhere you want, operate it in whatever way you want, and exploit as many people as you want. So like, you exactly. know, there probably are like a lot of laws that do say like you can't be infringed on doing your business anywhere you want, and you can't be XYZ. I'm sure there's more of those than there are laws against like me being kidnapped by the government or having the right to vote or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, there's really only one guaranteed right in the United States, which is like the right granted to you by money, mm-hmm. which is that you can use your money however you want.
Yeah.
And it's weird how that's like set up so that rich people get richer and that poor people are consistently offered choice instead of value. So mm-hmm. we just keep getting poorer, but we keep thinking like, wow, I've never had it so good.
Yeah. 100 channels. Wow. That must be 100 times better than one channel. This is incredible.
Yeah. I bet all these channels are taking the same amount of care and putting the same budget into their productions. I can't mm-hmm. wait to see all the quality entertainment that's going to come out of this. But yeah, I mean, like, fuck this judge. Fuck federal judges in general, and fuck anybody who thinks that being limited in the way that you can start businesses is a violation of the Constitution. It's mm-hmm. not.
Yeah, stuff like this is interesting because it's like in the past, like really not that long, I guess like 5 years or so, you've had politicians like your Bernie Sanders and your AOC and your Rashida Tlaib, and it's like becoming more of a trend in general where there's people who are like, I think socialism is good. And, you know, they may have very iffy definitions of it, but like usually to some right. extent, they're like, well, we should even wealth inequality. We should give more money to poor people. We should take money from rich people. And sure. it's going to be interesting because I feel like the more people try to do stuff like that, like through the mechanism of the American government, the more they're going to find out like, oh, it's just illegal to take any money from rich people or take any power from rich people.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what they were going to do if Bernie Sanders got elected, mm-hmm. right? Was they were going to sick the fucking judicial system on him and be mm-hmm. like, well, technically you're not allowed to do this. The fucking, what's that person in the Senate who's not elected? What the fuck
called? The parliamentarian.
The parliamentarian said, no, you can't do this, Mr. President. Yeah, some fucking bullshit like that. I mean, they were mm-hmm. just ready. It's all planned. It's all designed mm-hmm. to be accessible to the rich and not accessible to the poor. Mm-hmm. And speaking about designing access mm-hmm. into things, I want to talk about a bombshell report that apparently finds that phone network encryption, the old phone algorithm that is still in use by some carriers today, mm-hmm. But that was primarily used to encrypt cell phone data in the 1990s and 2000s, allowed hackers to spy on some internet traffic. And more importantly than that, it implies that the researchers believe that the mathematical probability of this particular weakness being introduced on accident is incredibly low. And in order to test this, when they filled out the paper, they used a random number generator to design shitty algorithms, right? They were like, these are the way that these algorithms would be designed. So they set up a tester to build random algorithms within the set of parameters that these researchers or that the people who designed this would have had to been operating under. And they said, we never got a result with as open of a or as weak of an encryption point as we found present in this old encryption algorithm, which is called GEA1.
Oh my God. So what you're saying is that Dream, before he was a Minecraft streamer and cheated at his speedrun, he worked for the phone companies and was like, oh, I got really lucky and accidentally left a huge exploit. I definitely didn't put it there on purpose.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's really what it is. And then you have the people who designed the original algorithm, who confirmed that this was put in there on purpose. But then they say that the reason for it was because there was some kind of political regulation in export control regulation that limited the strength of GEA1 and limited the total algorithm to something. I don't remember. It's like 40 bits or something. The actual units don't matter because it was irrelevant at the time and it's irrelevant now. Mm-hmm. And this might technically be true, but reading between the lines a little bit, I'm not an engineer, preface, but reading between the lines a little bit, it does seem like the implication is that there were other ways to make this fit within the limits imposed by the law or the export regulation that would not have weakened it to this degree. So the thinking is somebody deliberately put a backdoor in cell phone encryption that was predominantly used from the late 90s into the mid to late 2000s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause it sounds like they already the official story is you're not allowed to use encryption that's too strong. And so they used a sort of decent encryption and then was unlucky and had an exploit. But then even more likely is that that was the case. And then also someone was like, oh, whoops, I spilled all the keys on the floor by the front door. Better walk away and not pick those up.
So they deliberately did this. And there's no reason to think that they're not doing this with the GEA algorithms going forward. GEA 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those things that is absolutely not a surprise to learn if you know anything about the CIA or the NSA. But is good to actually have some evidence for and something to back up. Because, you can imagine people working at those institutions when they first heard. I mean, I guess it's not even they first heard about cell phones when they became public, because all this technology starts off as military technology. So they can just be eventually once citizens are able to buy these things, it could be bad if they're actually able to encrypt them and we can't listen in on their conversations. So we better make sure that we find ways to have weaknesses in the system that no one notices or people don't notice for a long time.
Exactly. And then they even say in the article, they're like, there's a more sophisticated attack that you can use to decrypt GEA2. But it's not susceptible to the same exploit. So don't worry, it was patched. And I'm like, wait, what's the more sophisticated attack? Are you telling me there's still vulnerabilities in this? I know there's going to be vulnerabilities in algorithms, but mm-hmm. you're not really giving me a lot to go on here in terms of believing that this is a problem of the past.
Yeah. You know, listen, what I mean? John, you just take a regular algorithm, you put a little Grey Poupon on top, suddenly it's way more sophisticated, and then you use that one. But no one's going to do that, so you don't got to worry about that.
Yeah, nobody has ever thought of that. It's like when we talked about that guy who changed one setting and accidentally shut down like an area of internet service for access to a bunch of sites. It's just like, whoopsie daisy, he accidentally just smeared too much mustard on his computer keys.
Yeah.
And it turns out that's how you fucking hack. It's not typing fast, it's throwing food at the keyboard.
Yeah, honestly, because then it's like, they're like, what, I'm hacking into his computer, but the key entries don't do anything because like he's got food all over the fucking computer, so now I can't do anything to him. He's outside
of our
system.
Eight VPNs and a thick layer of mustard.
Just like rubbing mustard onto the screen to like keep them from seeing anything. Like if I can't read it, the NSA definitely can't read it either.
That's how I obscure my webcam when I'm not using it. I just put a little dollop of bright yellow mustard right there on my
camera. Then they're like, what is John doing? Is his whole room filled up with yellow foam or something? We're dealing with like a really sophisticated operator here, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, speaking of sophisticated operators, speaking of really knowing what you're doing, I want to talk about an absolute legend, an NYPD cop who managed to get hit by a ricochet at an NYPD firing range by some comrade undercover, obviously, as an NYPD officer for the express purpose of murdering other NYPD officers. No, I'm just kidding. But I did want to read this article because I know it's from the New York Post, which is a tabloid.
Mm-hmm, awful.
But the tabloid elements of this are not what make it funny. Like the pacing may be a little bit, but I'm just going to read verbatim from this. And I think you're going to enjoy it. It says, an NYPD cop was wounded when a ricocheting bullet at the Rodman's Neck police firing range struck him in the neck Tuesday, police said. The injured officer was at the Bronx range for an annual firearms requalification at around 11 a.m. when another cop fired off a round which ricocheted and struck the wounded officer, police confirmed Thursday. The cop was standing about 25 yards behind at the quote-unquote boy range at the Rodman's Neck outdoor range when he felt a sharp pain in his neck, police sources told the Post. He reached for his neck and noticed that he was bleeding, so he notified the range supervisor, who called an ambulance and temporarily shut down the range.
Oh boy, that's good. Yeah, see, I've heard of Great Neck. That's like a place that's like kind of in upstate New York. I've never heard of Rodman's Neck though. That's even more like, this is just a dude's neck. Nothing bad could happen to a man's neck there.
I'm going to Dennis Rodman's neck firing range. Oh, yeah? I've heard it's pretty nice up there.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, apparently it's in Queens. Or no, it's in the Bronx. Yeah, sorry, yeah. New York. I always get my boroughs confused.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's in the Bronx. So it's like in the city. You know, it's in the five boroughs
or whatever. Just up a little bit from Manhattan.
Yeah, and why is it called Rodman's Neck?
It's anyone's guess. We got a lot of weird names for stuff around here.
I'm gonna look it up. I'm gonna see if I can figure out why a firing range would be called Rodman's Neck, because that's the guy who they shot a guy named Rodman in the neck, and they're like, wow, you are a sharp shot, we're naming this after you.
Yeah, well, and then also that it's called the boy range.
The boy range, what is okay? So Rodman's Neck is a peninsula. Apparently.
Oh yeah, because yeah, there's also Great Neck, which is in Long Island, is a peninsula as well. I don't know
it's
why
like
neck,
the narrow.
I guess it's just narrow. Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, you know what I think of when I think of Great Neck, and it's not a peninsula.
Oh yeah, flamingos.
Yeah,
I know
exactly.
I know what page you're on. Yeah.
You got the village of Great Neck, you got Great Neck Estates, you got Great Neck Plaza.
There's just a lot of Great Necking around here, I gotta tell you.
But then why is it Rodman? Is that just a guy?
Yeah, Rodman was probably somehow like the fucking explorer who fucking stole it from the Sewanee people. I am on the Wikipedia page. Thank you for asking. But yeah, I mean, this fucking rocks. And honestly, how do we get this to happen more? How do we infiltrate the trajectory of police bullets and revolutionize them and radicalize? How do we radicalize the trajectory of police bullets into striking police officers?
Oh yeah,
that's what I want to know.
Maybe we're not thinking fundamental enough, because you know, when people are trying to think about, you know, communism and Marxism, they're like, well, how do you have a system that can like examine the problems of the working class on the whole planet and, you know, figure out the contradictions and the struggles that they're living through, you know, kind of really get down to the elemental brass tacks. but maybe we're not going elemental enough. Maybe if we get down to the physics level and we're like, how can we get certain steel atoms that make up bullets to bend to our will?
That's right.
I guess we'd be turning into Dr. Manhattan at that point, but maybe he just got there by thinking really hard.
The virgin dialectical materialist versus the Chad anarcho-posadist working on a project folder labeled Make Bullets Go Other Way.
Just watching Dr. Strange on a loop in the background and trying to grow your goatee so it looks like Benedict Cumberbatch, and being like, look, the Marvel Universe has some unrealistic elements, but I think this one where he turns into a wizard, I think I could get some stuff out of that. I think there's something useful there.
Look, I saw it in The Matrix. I saw it in the superhero movies. Mao said power grows from the barrel of a gun, but he didn't say what happens after the bullet escapes. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're not reading between the lines, man. the alien communists have told us, man, we got to develop mind powers to turn the bullets around.
Yeah, you're like,
we
look,
don't
I mean
need
back
guns.
Yeah, back then guns were a great technology, printing pamphlets was a great technology, but now we have super colliders, we have string theory, we have possibly alternate dimensions and time travel. Like, what could we do if a bullet goes backwards in time after it exits a cop's bullet so it flies back and hits him? What if you could make that happen to only certain kinds of bullets? You know, think about it, man. Think about it. What if we could do that?
Yeah. I know humans have this technology, bro. In 2008, I saw Penn Jillette catch a bullet between his teeth, dog, and put it on a plate.
We just need a few Penn Jillettes, maybe Teller too. He can come, and we gotta we meditate. We take some ayahuasca. We watch Doctor Strange. We watch the Holy Mountain, maybe, and then I think we could crack this.
Yeah, we need an army of Antifa super soldiers who are cloned from John Goodman and Wallace Shawn, so we can have big guys and little guys out there fucking handling their shit.
Oh my
god!
Or
if we're cloning them, why not just clone them from Andre the Giant? And just go full Princess Bride, you know?
Yeah, maybe do a few different kind of Wallace Shawn, because you got My Dinner with Andre, where it's like, Andre's not really big, but he's like taller than Wallace Shawn, and they have a sort of like dialectical conversation for a while. Just like get a lot of those, kind of make some kind of like dialectical engine. Maybe it'll end up working like one of those flying machines in Minecraft where all the observers keep pushing forward and then like this huge structure moves along. I don't know. I'm no scientist, but I think we could make something happen.
I'm no engineer, but I've made a couple of piston and observer machines in Minecraft, so I think I could clone Wallace Shawn if I had to.
And then how does this lead to communism again? Look, you got to understand string theory to really get this one, but yeah, it'll happen. Trust me.
Have you watched Rick and Morty? Okay. And on that note, I think we're gonna close out the episode. If there's a little weird segue, it's because we lost our internet connection. But thank you so much, everybody, for listening. This is Beep Beep Lettuce, the only show about weed memes and communism. Mm-hmm. Some shows will give you two out of three, but we've got all three. Mm-hmm. That's right. Remember to get in the Discord. Remember to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. If you're a Patreon patron, thank you so much. If you're not, what are you doing, you fool? You rube. Yeah, you made a mistake. yeah, thank you so much for listening. This has been the Chris and John happy hour. Stay doinked out there, and remember to listen to my other show, Work Stoppage, and Bryn's other show, Generation Loss, and all the other things.
Yeah, yeah. Do the other things, and we'll see you later. Beep on.
Beep on.
like it very lightly. We won't get jealous and we can't come rightly. We pick that style up, wicked and wild. We happy face, brother, you never see me smile. We got to maintain, I explain. And this brother is going insane. Insane in the membrane, insane in the brain. Come, insane in the membrane, insane in the brain. Come again, insane in the membrane. I play the trumpet, I can hit that down on the break of something soon. I've got to get my props, cops, come for try to snatch my crops. These pigs want to blow my house down, and the heads on the ground to the next town. They get mad when they come to raid my time. I'm out in the night, the who's kind of. And when they all jump violent, you know, they can't hide from the red light beam. No, you believe in the unseen. Look, but don't make your eyes this chain. Cause this brother is going insane. Under the ice man, not to let my game come.